Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Eastern Lariat podcast. This is a very sad episode, and as you can see, or as you can hear, we decided to not use our regular theme for this one because this one is about the death of Atsushi Aoki. I'm joined by Dylan. And Dylan, you were online right as it happened. I was asleep, only read it this morning. Terrible.
Yeah, like, I don't even want to talk about it, like, in a lot of ways, because it was just so sad. But yeah, the All Japan Junior Heavyweight Champion, Atsushi Aoki, died yesterday. He was in a motorcycle accident where, basically, from all intents and purposes of what I read, I don't know if there was anything else that came out onto it this morning. It's still a little early for me. Not that early, but, you know, basically, he tried to cut and make a turn, mm-hmm. but he wasn't able to turn, and he smashed into a wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was driving on the Metropolitan Expressway in Tokyo in Chiyoda around 10:30 p.m. last night, Japanese time, and was right away carried to a hospital, but apparently died either on the way or at the hospital. I don't know about that right now, but Jun Akiyama was informed around midnight, rushed to the hospital, but when he came to the hospital, Aoki was already dead. And yeah, as you can see, first guy in the hospital, Jun Akiyama, they were very close.
Yeah, these guys, this wasn't just a professional relationship either between these two. These guys were very tight ever since Aoki really joined Noah in late 2005. Mm. Like, these guys were always close. These two and Makoto Hashi and Kanemaru always had a bit of a pact, especially Hashi and Aoki and Akiyama. Yeah. Like, those guys were kind of like a group backstage at Noah. And Hashi had already retired by the time Aoki really came into prominence, pretty much. Or he was on the tail end of his career. But still, these guys, Aoki and Akiyama, you know, you could tell by the company, basically, even now in All Japan, the status quo has been Akiyama is kind of like the main man of the heavyweights, and Aoki is the main man of the juniors.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like, not only that, Aoki also was the head coach of the All Japan Dojo.
Yeah, and you know, Aoki, he's somebody that, and we saw this online with the outpouring of support for him, but I think even before this, I think it was kind of obvious that he was well-respected among a lot of wrestlers, not just his best friends, but pretty much everybody he knew, because Aoki, you know, the funny thing is when we talk about him, we talked about it recently, and we kind of mentioned that, you know, he was kind of boring later on in his career.
That's a good point I wanted to address too. I don't want to pretend that we always talked highly of Atsushi Aoki, but, you know, we really tried to look at it as fans and from a fan's perspective. As you said, the last time we talked about him, we said he isn't the most exciting wrestler, but I don't think there is any doubt that he was a very good to great technical wrestler.
And that's the thing I was going to make. Like, yes, he was boring kind of later on. A lot of it due to booking, some crazy stuff that happened with the Bret Hart cosplay. Like, we'll get to that. But actually, like, if you actually look at his work, he's not exciting in the way that he has all these great moves. Mm. Or even from a technical perspective, he's not somebody like Hideki Suzuki or Sato or somebody that's super, you know, technically mat-based. He had some stuff. He did some good stuff. But what he was really great as a technical wrestler was he had such a great grasp of every basic thing you could want in the wrestling ring. Anything you've got, footwork, timing, things like that, he was just an expert at it. That's what made him such a great trainer and so well-respected. And we're seeing it with a lot of these young guys in All Japan right now, that Aoki, to me, even though, like we said, we weren't his biggest fans this last year or so of his career, still, he had a huge impact in a positive way on this company through his training regimen, because he was so well-versed in so many different styles of wrestling, and in particular, his grasp of everything you would want in terms of a basic moveset and a basic foundation of wrestling. Aoki was one of the greatest people going around today, and that's why he did such a good job of training people like Okada and things like that right now.
Yeah, not only all the guys that are in the opening matches of All Japan Pro Wrestling right now, Dan Tamura, Hokuto Omori, Atsuki Aoyagi, the brother of Yuma Aoyagi, they were all trained mainly by Atsushi Aoki.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and like all of these guys show the great foundation that Aoki passed along to them, even already in there. I talked about it a bit in a Patreon review for the All Japan show last month. But to me, like, these guys have such a great foundation, and that's what Aoki really laid himself out on. And he, like, and another thing, too, even though we weren't his biggest fans last year, it's not like he didn't have his moments where he was a top-flight talent in the junior division, both in All Japan as well as NOLA. He had an impact in both of these companies that he wrestled in. Definitely. And you could tell by all the respect that he had, not just as a friend and a person, but also as a worker. I get the feeling that he was somebody that if you wrestled against him, you got a bigger appreciation than
yes,
if you just
watched. I will come to that point when I talk about his life a little bit more. Quickly want to mention that he also had a hand in training Jake Lee, Naoya Nomura, Yuma Aoyagi, and Keiichi Sato. So really some of the core roster of All Japan Pro Wrestling in 2019 was shaped by Atsushi Aoki, and I believe that's very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a trainer, that was, like I said, the last few years, that was where he really shined within the company, was as a trainer. And he was already getting older up there in years. You know, he was just, he was 41, still young to go, like way too young. But in wrestling terms, he was getting a little up there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he was moving, transitioning really well to being that Akiyama level player, like a veteran of the juniors and training people and making sure his legacy lived on. And I think if there is one positive to all of this, even though he's gone now and it sucks, his legacy is going to live on with all these people that he trained, because all of these guys, like I said, actually have a lot of the same foundations that he had. When he was coming up in NOAH, a lot of these guys, if you watch them, they actually have a lot of him in him in terms of a foundation. And they're going to put their own spin on it, obviously. Someone like Okada, someone like Dan Tamura, Omori, all of them.
I really think that you can see a lot of Atsushi Aoki in Yusuke Okada.
Me too.
Movement, approach to wrestling, intensity, like everything that really matters in wrestling, you can see it.
Yeah, I think so too. I totally agree with you.
Like even down to the colors.
Yeah, the blue, I was just about to mention that. The blue, yeah. He totally represents that. And I was reading something about him earlier that essentially, like, the reason why, because his nickname originally in NOAH was the Blue Flash.
Yes.
And he basically mentioned how he did some interview where he's talking about when he was the GHC tag team champion, the junior tag champion. He was saying how he always wanted to have, because the champions in the red quarter and the challengers in the blue quarter.
I read that too. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, he always wanted to have the mindset and the heart of the challenger, even when he was champion in there. So I thought that was a great way to look at it. Even like from a philosophical perspective, I think that was really cool. And blue's just the best color, let's just be honest. So like I said, Aoki had a down pat on there. And he did a lot of things. You know, he had a few different look changes over his career, tried to reinvent himself in a different ways. Not all of them were super hits, like the Bret Hart thing with the mask and things like that. We'll never know what the point of that was.
Yeah, the Japanese Wikipedia specifically cites that the reason why he did it is still not known. So
they said that
yes,
on Wikipedia?
On Wikipedia, yes.
Even they don't know, like I said. So we'll never know what that was all about. He had
from
like
around
dynamite.
November 2017, he wore a mask. However, the ring name has not changed and was still his real name, and the reason for wearing a mask was not clarified. That's on Wikipedia.
Well, that's his secret right there. He had his normal attire. He had at one point he had these long tights that were similar to Dynamite Kid, who was his favorite wrestler. So he's not somebody who just did the same stuff over and over. He tried to reinvent himself throughout his career, and like I said, some of them were high points and some of them weren't the greatest, but I appreciate that he tried different things in terms of his look and how he presented himself.
Yeah, so let me talk about his life a little bit here. This is Atsushi Aoki, the assault point. He was born on September 25, 1977, and as you mentioned, died yesterday at the age of 41. He was an active member in amateur wrestling since high school and knew MMA fighter Takuya Wada and pro wrestler Masato Inaba from junior high school, and he served in the Japanese army in 2000 when he was a member of the Ground Self-Defense Forces. He won the National Open Wrestling Championship in the 69-kilogram class and also got to know Yuji Okabayashi during that time, who was also in the Self-Defense Forces, but in a different division, I believe. And as you said, he was introduced to Pro Wrestling Noah in May 2005 and quickly became an associate of Jun Akiyama and later a very good friend as well. He debuted at Norful Gift in DIFA 2009 when he lost his match. He was in a tag team match teaming with Yoshinori Ota against Akira Tawa and Mitsuharu Misawa, so a very high profile debut for him. In 11 minutes, when Tawa pinned him with his Nodoa Otoshi. And in 2006, he became a member of Sternus, the group.
I just want to say, just to add on to that real quick, yeah, his class in Noah, you mentioned Ota.
Yes.
And he also trained with Akihito Ito. Shuhei and Maybach Taniguchi were a part of that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they were all in the same class growing up. And Ota and Ito, they retired early, unfortunately, because I thought they were both really talented.
Yeah, it was a very good class altogether.
Yeah, and Taniguchi, he's starting to turn it around now. The Maybach stuff, that's even worse than Aoki's masked stuff. But for a pure talent that these guys had, that was a really strong class for Noah. And it's unfortunate that, you know, one of them left. Two of them retired. Maybach was, you know, in his crazy gimmick. But the talent itself was there. That was a really strong class for Noah.
Yeah, exactly. So, as I said, he became a member of Sternus in 2006. And then, in 2007, he started a trial series and he came to Europe. And today I posted a photo of him and me in 2007, April 2007, his first match in Germany, when he and Goshi Ozaki defeated the Swiss Money Holding of Ares and Marc Rodin. In Essen, back at that point, he stayed in Europe for 3 months before he left. Had his final match in WXW, WXW Payback 2 on June 17, 2007, when he lost to Tommy End, now Aleister Black in NXT. And very interesting is that he then had a match against Joel Redman before leaving Europe as a whole. He went to England, had a match against Joel Redman at the European Navigation 2008 in Coventry. And that's one of the matches that Joel Redman cited why he got the gig in this year's Champion Carnival. So Atsushi Oki always had an eye for talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, that's a great story. I was really happy to see that picture you posted online with him. That's really great that you got to meet him. It's great that Aoki did such a good job, even when he was abroad as well. I really appreciated that.
Look, he was very shy when he first made his European debut. He didn't really know what to think about these rabid fans in Germany, like 300 people standing around the ring and just chanting a whole lot. That was not what Aoki was used to. But he became more more relaxed, more familiar with the crowd, and began to interact with the crowd much better and picked up a lot of self-confidence, I believe, during that excursion to Germany and to England as well. And I believe that really helped him in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really good that he got the chance to be in a different place there at the time for Noah. They had a lot of good connections back then. And like you said, even with like someone like Redman, that carried on to this day. Pretty much with him getting him in All Japan all these years later. So it's almost like it's a small world kind of thing. You know, you meet Aoki when he was there. Aoki meets Redman. Redman comes over to All Japan 12 years later. It's crazy how all of that just happens sometimes. But yeah, I could totally buy him being a shy guy. He seemed very likable and respected in his life pretty much. But for a new environment like that, sometimes you need some time to open up. And it seems like he really did based on what you said.
Yeah, also in Europe. Wrestled for IPW UK, for the German Wrestling Federation in 2016. Wrestled for Source Wrestling School in England. Wrestled for 4FW. And also for the Scottish Wrestling Alliance, which was his final match in Europe last October, losing to Mikey Whiplash. And well, going back to his Noah career, in 2008, he started a trial series. In his first match, he lost against Jun Akiyama, won his second match against Davey Richards, and then lost to Brian Danielson, Yoshinari Ogawa, Kasayashi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Yushin Thunder Liger, Naomi Chimaru Fuji, and Minoru Suzuki. What a trial series for a young wrestler.
I mean, that's like a who's who of legends and great talents. You know, you could go against Brian Danielson, Minoru Suzuki, Jushin Liger at the time. I mean, like I said, you could tell that they had high hopes for this guy to carry, to really succeed Kenta as the next ace of the junior division. I feel like between, and look at that talent at the time in that whole division. You had Kenta, you had Ishimori, young Ishimori at the time, Aoki, man, like I said, just a crazy time in Nolan there. Nakajima was there too as a junior as well for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, something crazy as well is that he was in the 2009 Best of the Super Junior Tournament, where he made it to the semifinals. And the event on June 14, 2009 was held just a few days after Mitsuharu Misawa had passed away. And they did a 10-bell salute in New Japan for Misawa too, and now he passed away 2 days before the finals of the 2019 Best of the Super Junior, which is, it's just, I don't know, insane.
It's just a few days, before the anniversary of Misawa's death.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's said.
Incredible. Well, so, yeah, he won championships. In 2010, he won his first championship. And it wasn't a championship in Pro Wrestling Noah, no. With Go Shiozaki, he won the AAA World Tag Team Championship. He won the belt from Taichi Ishimori and Takeshi Morishima, who held it for 65 days, and then Aoki and Shiozaki held it for 14 days, before losing the championship in a four-way elimination match on June 6, 2010. And then he also became the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion twice, once with Naomi Chimaro Fuji and once with Kotaro Suzuki. That's his Noah Championship career. And in 2011, he formed a group with Kotaro Suzuki, Ishimori, and Go Shiozaki named Anmu, which was supposed to be the Anti-No Mercy Unit. I always thought that was a stupid name, but the group consisted of four very good wrestlers.
Yeah, the thing about all that was, just to go back to that New Japan run a little bit in 2009, that was a lot of ways his breakout, because he was doing stuff with Noah and New Japan at the time, not just in the Super Juniors, but he was in the Super J Cup that they had that year. At the end of the year, he faced Fergal Devitt, and that lost out in the first round. But you could tell that they really had plans for him and Noah and wanted him to do all these different things, the Mexican excursion, the European excursion. Even when they I remember they had a big match when it was basically Okada was still a young lion and they were putting him through all of these young lion matches. It was Goto and Okada versus Sugira and Aoki. It was kind of like their running buddies at the time. They had a match on New Japan TV in Corcoran in 2009. So he was facing all these different people, but, you know, rubbing shoulders with all these different people that you wouldn't expect. In terms of the Anti-No Mercy unit, essentially, I think nobody liked that name, and that's kind of why basically the next year they just added Akiyama to it and called it something else.
Yeah, they call it the Special Assault Team.
Yeah, the SAT.
Which is very generic, but better than Enmu.
Yeah, Enmu was just, I like the idea behind it, that, you know, this No Mercy is, you know, too wild and too heels, so we're going to unite to take him out. But, yeah, like I said, it didn't really work. But when they brought Akiyama in, I think they had a little bit of something with, you know, Akiyama, Go, Kotaro, and Aoki. So, but things really took a turn to change afterwards before that could really come to fruition.
Right, before that, more tournaments, was a back-to-back winner of the Noah Junior Heavyweight Tag Team League in 2010, won the Junior Heavyweight League with Kenta, and in 2011 he also, well, the 2010 match, before we go to best matches of his career, but the 2010 Junior Heavyweight Tag Team League Final. Atsushi Aoki and Kenta beat Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. I vividly remember talking to Eddie Edwards at a WXW show back then and telling him I had seen the match and it was one of my favorite tag team matches of that year. It's already 9 years ago, Dylan.
It's crazy. Like, I remember this, like you said, like it was just yesterday. I remember, because the good thing about Noah at the time, they, it was for whatever reason, like we mentioned this before around this time, that it was kind of like you were just waiting on certain shows for months and months, but Noah, for whatever reason, was much better about being on YouTube at the time than New Japan. So you could watch the matches a lot sooner. And I remember when that match came out, it set the whole world on fire for a couple of weeks that I knew. And I loved that match a lot. That was very much up there when I looked at some of his greatest matches. That is up there. And, you know, him and Kenta really only teamed regularly for like a year. But they still feel like they were very linked because their run was very, very strong that year.
They were linked because they faced off in the 2011 Junior Heavyweight Tag Team League Final. At that point, Atsushi Aoki and Kotaro Suzuki beat the team of No Mercy, Kenta, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. And while Aoki never held the Junior Heavyweight Singles title in Noah, he was able to pin Yoshinobu Kanemaru with the assault point in this match. So beating one of the original juniors in Pro Wrestling Noah was kind of his breakthrough as a star in Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah, like I said, because at this point, it really felt like he was on his way. You know, and they'd been building this up for a long time now, and it felt like each different year, he would take a different step up. Mm-hmm. You know, from the excursion to the New Japan stuff to the tag team with Kenta to kind of being the leader of the tag team with Kotaro. And it felt like his next step was winning that junior heavyweight title. And honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. When I read that he died, like I felt like it felt like he'd won it in my mind, even though
I looked that up and I was so sure he had won it, but no,
me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we both thought the same thing. It just seems like it was natural that he won it because he was really up there as their main project for like 3 to 4 years before he left as the next junior star to succeed Kenta. But it just never happened. It's kind of crazy how that works because it felt like he was always in the mix, whether in the tag teams or wrestling famous people and top stars and stuff. He was always in the mix. So it's kind of crazy how he never actually got that gold, even though it feels like he was a champion because he was pushed so well in Noah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you already said it, he left Pro Wrestling Noah. In late 2012, Noah and Kenta Kobashi had a falling out, and Kenta Kobashi was fired from the promotion. And because of that, the team of Burning, which was later known as Burning in All Japan Pro Wrestling, Goshi Ozaki, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Kotaro Suzuki, Atsushi Aoki, they left Noah and went to All Japan Pro Wrestling. And like in All Japan, this was such a breath of fresh air, and what it was so badly needed at that point, that All Japan needed something new, because the roster was not the biggest, and the match constellations they had began to be very stale. And then when these five guys came in early 2013, it felt like All Japan was onto something.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to the Burning jump over, basically they just took Special Assault Team and replaced Saito with Kanemaru.
I didn't mention Akiyama, but he also left, of course, and became the president of All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, he small details. but yeah, basically they just took Special Assault Team and replaced Saito with Kanemaru and put them in and called them Burning. So, that was all because of Kobashi's stuff. When they came in, it got a huge buzz for a company that really All Japan at this point, you know, 2012, their profile, especially in the West, was like flatlined, you know,
nobody watched All Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Like they were very down on the profile scale. But when these guys came in, it gave them a shot in the arm. The timing was both kind of, it all worked out in the end, to be honest with you, but the timing was kind of rough because this was around the time Shiraishi was coming
absolutely in. Curious and, timing. Like, imagine Akiyama hadn't gone to All Japan. Maybe the company wouldn't be around anymore.
Yeah, they were close. Like, they were close to dying. Even when, you know, I remember not that, like, just a couple of years ago, Akiyama was talking about, I don't know if we can make it another 3 months.
Yes.
Here. Yeah, you know, so it's kind of crazy how some things can turn around that way. But back then, Shiraishi, for all of his faults, did have at least big goals and big plans, and that bringing these five in were a big part of that. And it was a good look to, you know, basically take, at this point, your biggest competitor. New Japan was just starting to really, like, settle in as the true number one at this moment. You know, they were like a year or two, like, you know, past them pretty much.
Yeah.
So this is right after Noah just had a terrible year in 2012. They had the scandal with the Yakuza stuff and the book with Izumina. They had the burning leaving, Kobashi getting fired. It was like, man, it was a very rough year for Noah, but it benefited All Japan to get these five guys over. And Aoki was a big part of that because he really was, in a lot of ways, the head junior. Because at this point in Noah, like I said, Kotaro was kind of like ahead of him for a while, but they had transitioned him, Aoki, from teaming on his own to teaming with Kenta to teaming with Kotaro as the leader. He was a secondary of Kenta, then the leader of the team with Kotaro. So he was immediately, when they came in, he was the main push guy of the juniors in Burning. Aoki was.
And they started a great tag team rivalry, Atsushi Aoki and Kotaro Suzuki, against the junior stars of Koji Kanemoto and Minoru Tanaka. I was a huge, huge fan of this era of the All-Asia tag team title, because in 2013 they basically had the idea that the All-Asia tag team title was their version of the junior heavyweight tag team title. And the Junior Stars had won the title in late 2012, dropped it to Hikaru Sato and Hiroshi Yamato for only 15 days. When they picked it up again, the Junior Stars did, and then lost it to Atsushi Aoki and Kotaro Suzuki, who held it for 276 days before dropping it to Jun Akiyama and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. And then kind of the junior aspect was gone for a little while again before it was briefly reborn. This feud between Burning and the Junior Stars was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I think they could have done even more if things hadn't have turned out how they did with Shiraishi. I think they would have had a lot of success with that, but things pretty much had to change at the moment because even now the Junior Division, it's not exactly the deepest roster, but but after the split up for Wrestle 1, it was the roster was on hard times in All Japan, and they had to change some things around.
They changed, and everybody of Burning, except for Akiyama and Aoki, left the promotion at some point.
Yep.
Atsushi Aoki stayed, and he became a four-time junior heavyweight champion, and of course was the junior heavyweight champion up until his death on June 3rd, 2019.
Yeah. You know, like I said, he was really one of the power players behind the scenes overall when it came to the juniors. He was really the man, like I said. He was the Akiyama of the juniors, doing a lot of great work training people. But his run, his first run to me as All Japan Junior Champion, was his highlight of his career as a singles wrestler. If you look at the matches he had there, it was very varied. And the ending match where he finally put over Kotaro Suzuki at the end, it was on March 2015, I think it was March 27th. That, to me, is one of his best singles matches to me. So I think the junior heavyweight scene, when he first won the title, was probably the best part of his career from an in-ring perspective to me. But besides, not a singles wrestler, because the tag team weren't great along that. But that, to me, was his shining star as a singles wrestler.
Exactly, and besides Burning, he also was a member of Exceed from 2013 to early 2014, and later joined Evolution and was a member of the group until his death. And before we go to some of the comments that the peers had for him, Jun Akiyama remained a very crucial friend and associate of his, and he once said, when Aoki gives advice, it's great because you'll already do it in the next match. And he was taking to wrestling very quickly and was referred to as the backbone of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And, well, I just want to read some of the comments that I gathered from Twitter and Facebook. Cassius Ohno, the former Chris Hero, said, "Shocked. I'm reading that Atsushi Aoki has passed away in Japan after a motorcycle accident. I had the privilege to share the ring with Aoki many times. Phenomenally talented, good-hearted. Damn, this is stunning. And the last time I saw Aoki wrestle live was when he and Jun Akiyama faced Takashi Sugiura and Daisuke Harada September 1st, 2018. Exceptional match. Go watch." I believe we would have talked about this match anyways.
Yeah.
So, I already mentioned Eddie Edwards. He said, "This is devastating. Aoki-san was a great person. I got lucky. We lived and trained together in the Noah Dojo. He helped me in and out of the ring more than I could ever explain. Don't put off seeing friends. You never know when it's the last time. I will miss you, my friend." Which is, wow. Rocky Romero also said, "Very saddened to hear about the passing of Atsushi Aoki. I had the honor of teaming with Aoki in the Junior Heavyweight Tag League back in 2017. And rest in power, my friend." Then three foreign wrestlers. Massimo, Italian wrestler, he said he so gutted for Atsushi Aoki's death. "He was a phenomenal wrestler, but first a fantastic person. And if him and Danny Jones got picked up in our Noah tryout, it is because Atsushi Aoki saw something special in the both of them. And personally, Massimo says he will be forever glad for that Atsushi Aoki believed in him." And Danny Jones also said he's absolutely devastated to hear of the passing of Atsushi Aoki. "If it wasn't for him, Danny Jones would have never gotten the opportunity to spend 3 months in All Japan Pro Wrestling. I will always be thankful," he says, "for the amount of help he gave me whilst I was there." And Ryan Fujiwara on Facebook, he said that his last match for All Japan was teaming with Atsushi Aoki. "Incredibly sad to see of his passing. He was awesome in the ring. Thoughts going out to his friends and family right now and everyone at All Japan Pro Wrestling. I'll never forget his advice after my last match with All Japan Pro Wrestling. Thank you and see you on the other side." And two more. I translated Tajiri's and Maro Fuji's comments on it, on the passing, and it's, yeah, I'll just read it. Tajiri said, "Life is awful, awful and impersonal. He was a friend who has been around for a long time. It is too late to understand now. Goodbye, Atsushi Aoki." And now Michimaro Fuji posted a photo and said, "Even if we walked on different paths, I could have always had a good time drinking and having conversations with him like this if we got together," as I said, he posted the picture. "And what we can do now is to continue to convey that there was a strong and responsible professional wrestler named Atsushi Aoki."
Yeah, nice sense. Just look at all those names. That's a who's who of Noah and wrestling in general in All Japan right there that you just listed off. All those people saying it. Just such a tragic thing. To have somebody go at 41, you know? Mm. It's crazy. Like somebody would die, like, in this horrible accident. I just feel for everybody involved. I hope everybody, his family and his All Japan family and the fans, can find some way to deal with all this right now.
Yeah, definitely. So, Dylan, I mentioned 2007, he was in Germany. One of the very first matches we have in the Cage Match Guide is actually from WXW, and the match I just mentioned, Ares and Mark Rodin against Aoki and Goshi Ozaki. But you, I think, put together a list of must-see matches from his career, so I'll just toss it to you.
Yeah. So to me, I always thought of him as really around the 2009 to 2011 era. Of his junior tag runs, that to me was the highlight of his career overall, and the All Japan singles title run that he had. So to me, some of his best matches, we mentioned earlier on his match with Kenta versus Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. That was on October 30th, 2010. That was just an absolutely incredible match. Like you said, it was one of your favorite matches of the year in 2010. That's something that you could look back on as a great point in his career.
Yeah, and actually, and sorry to interrupt, but they faced twice in that junior heavyweight tag team tournament. Yeah. And I remember that both of these matches were outstanding. And at that point, it was really hard for me to say if the group stage match was better or the final match was better.
Yeah, that's true. It was just 2 weeks apart, too. Like I said, one was on the 17th, one was on the 30th. I think the finals was probably the best, but, you know, you could go either way. They were both really good matches, you know, so there's no dishonor in that. I think there was a really great match in 2009, two singles matches. He had matches against Marufuji and Kenta at the end of 2009. This is when they were, and I think the match with Marufuji was just before he went to the Super J Cup that year as well, faced Fergal David.
Yes, the match against Marufuji was on December 6th, and the Super J Cup was on December 22nd.
Yeah. To me, of all those three matches that I just mentioned, to me, the match with Kenta on September 21st was the best one. I think they had some really incredible chemistry, and Kenta is somebody that Aoki could work with a little better. I feel like Marufuji's match was really great, too. But I think you can watch both of them and get something completely different out of them because he brought something different out of both guys. I really loved, like you said, the match with the junior stars that they had in All Japan from March 17th, 2013. Just a phenomenal tag team match with Kotaro Suzuki, Kanemoto and Tanaka against them. Thought that was the epitome of the All-Asia tag scene for a long time. Mm. I also really loved that after he joined Evolution, they had a match very early on. It was with Isami Kodaka and Miyamoto.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a really underrated. That whole 2015 was like very ambiguous now, and I don't even know if a lot of this stuff's even online anymore. The Noah stuff I know you can find, but the All Japan, that's kind of a dark period for them.
Yeah,
but
like they also had a rematch in Big Japan. Tsuyoki and Hikaru Sato against Yankee Nichu Kenju on July 24, 2016.
Yeah. They did in Big Japan. I like that match too, but I think the All Japan one was really like something spectacular, something you got to check out if you can find it. Like I said earlier on, the March 27th singles match with Kotaro Suzuki, and even though it was the end of his title reign, that to me was one of his best singles matches I ever saw. That was right up there with Kenta that he had in 2009, and he kept going really all the way up to this past year, his team with Jun Akiyama versus Daisuke Harada and Takashi Sugiura on the flight show from September 1st. And he played a pivotal role in that where everybody stood out. I think that might be his highest rated match. I know it was rated really high on the cage match.
Nope.
It's not his highest rated tag match?
No, you missed one. Very early on August 17, 2008, Akihiko Ito, Atsushi Aoki, Kenta, and Kenta Kobashi against Kensuke Sasaki, Katsuhiko Nakajima, Kento Miyahara, and Takashi Okita. Maybe one of the greatest 8-man tag team elimination matches of all time.
Yeah, that's not because of him though. Like that wasn't.
That's true.
Like that's an amazing match. Like that's one of my favorite matches. But I don't like he was like the eighth person I thought.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I said, nothing against him. It's not like he did bad, but that match is incredible. Takashi Okita, amazing worker that was way too like left us way too soon in
but
terms of retirement.
You're definitely correct. The highest rated match where played a crucial role was the match from Flight last year, September 1st, 2018.
Yeah, but watch all of them anyway. Even though it wasn't his biggest run, he still did play a role in that match. It wasn't like he was nothing, but it's just that wasn't a match based around him as much as these other ones that I mentioned. But really, all of those that I said were really strong matches. I know he teamed with Marufuji as well. Briefly, he had a match versus Koji Kanemoto and Tiger Mask. This was at the tail end of Kanemoto's run in New Japan, but it was in Noah when that happened. I think you could even say, I know a lot of people, I mentioned pretty much everything earlier, just like his match with Sugiura versus Goto and Okada. And I think really the last one I could say is the match versus in the champion carnival versus Kento Miyahara.
Yeah.
Just a ago that a lot of people liked, I know.
It's really funny because we said that he tended to be boring as a wrestler. But this was a very exciting match.
The crowd got behind him so well, too, and I think that's what made it so special.
Yeah.
When it came to him versus the Triple Crown champion and the ace of the company, the crowd really took his side on that, and he did a great job. The only problem was in that whole tournament, it's not like he was bad in the tournament at all. Just my problem with him was that a lot of his match types were he kept going to the same well a little bit too often. But the first match he had versus Kento was something special. I think that you could check out, and I think everybody really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, and most recently, he beat Koji Iwamoto for the All Japan Junior Heavyweight Championship, and I believe that some people really think that this was a very good match. I thought it was good. You also did a review of it on our Patreon.
Yeah, see, the problem with that is, like I said, it's not really him. It's more so the title. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of soured us on there. That's really the main problem with him anyway. Like I said, that I had these last couple of years, it wasn't necessarily him or anything he did wrong, because as I mentioned, I always respected him as a technical wrestler, his foundation that he had.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of the stuff they were doing with the title made it seem like the division was going nowhere in a lot of ways. So it's not really his fault, just the booking of it all than anything. But those matches, I said, were all really great matches, and in a variety of situations, too. Like, you know, different tag teams and different companies, different partners, singles matches. He really did a lot of everything in his whole career. So you have to give him credit for that, I feel like. And like I said, even my negative criticisms weren't necessarily of him or anything. I just think that the booking of it made it, you know, like I said, it just really made it seem like the division was going nowhere. And it wasn't a good look, but I think his match with Sato would have been very good. But like if everything had been okay, and I wish that this never would have happened, but if we had seen Aoki and Sato, I think I would have liked the match a lot, but then it felt like the title was going nowhere, and that would have soured me out a little bit.
Oh. I can totally understand that and relate to that, because I have very similar feelings to the junior division in All Japan Pro Wrestling. But as for Atsushi Aoki, his final match came just one day prior to his death. He wrestled in Kobe Sambo Hall. He teamed with Hikaru Sato and Yusuke Okada. They were on the losing end of a six-man tag match against Jake Lee, Koji Iwamoto, and Nobi Bryant. Yeah, and I believe this closes the chapter of us talking about Atsushi Aoki.
Man, like I said, I'm still like mind-boggled at all of this.
I can't comprehend this, to be honest. Really,
yeah,
I thought talking about this wouldn't help to comprehend what happened, but I still really don't understand this at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, just a horrible accident that we saw that he had on there, and it hit me close to home, to be honest with you, because my dad, my birth dad, he actually died in an accident on the road himself, where he was driving a truck, not a motorcycle, but he spun out and hit a wall as well. This was like so emotional to me. Just yesterday, actually, like this is gonna sound really creepy, but like I actually got the newspaper clipping of my dad's death that I have up here.
That's crazy.
Like I said, just yesterday before this happened. Yeah, I said it was the same. It's a very similar situation. One was in a truck. One was in a motorcycle. So like this hit me really hard when that happened. I was so out of it yesterday. I tried my best. I recorded an episode of my Lucha show. But it really wasn't my best stuff. But like going back through all this stuff that he had in his career, Aoki, it was just wild to me. I'm glad that he had such a variety of matches that we could go back on his career and look back to. The ending was tragic, obviously, but you can't take away the impact he had, not just in matches. And like he had a lot of great matches as a trainer. As I said, the good thing about it is that his legacy will live on. And as a person, a human being, you could see how much of an outpouring he got in the example that he had. So that's the one good thing, is that he made an impact during his life, even though it was too short. And, you know, he won't be forgotten in this company as long as Jun Akiyama is around. I can promise you that, because those guys were as thick as thieves. And I know Akiyama will keep him in their mind. And hopefully, like you said, I know I heard that he was searching out for his family, Aoki's family, to try and have a memorial show at some point when the time is right.
Look,
and I hope we can see something like that.
I really, really hope that Noah and All Japan work something out and can do a memorial show together. I think that would be really great.
I think that would be awesome. And he has history with every, you know, a lot of people in there. You know, someone like Kanemaru should totally be there. Someone like Marufuji should be there.
Mm.
Sugera. Like, you know, really all these guys that he came up with, like, should definitely be there. And I completely agree with you. And we saw, the good thing is that Noah and New Japan both sent out their, you know, their best wishes to him and his family, even though he was in All Japan.
Yeah.
Like, this was something that they just ignored. Like, New Japan posted on Twitter.
Yeah, basically every promotion did.
Yeah.
Dragon Gate did. I saw something from Kaori Yonayama. Mika Iwata tweeted something, too. So there is a lot of support from the Japanese wrestling community.
Yeah, and he barely... I don't even know if he ever even worked in Dragon Gate. You know, he was just like... if not very briefly, I know he had a DDT run. They put a thing on there.
Yeah, he had a Dragon. He had two matches in Dragon Gate in 2007.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
When Masato Yoshino and Naoki Doi were the junior heavyweight champions for Pro Wrestling Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And so DDT, they had a run there, yes. And in 2018, also had a match for Kaori Yama's YMZ promotion.
Yeah, you know, so, hey, listen to those promotions. The dude got around more than you might think.
Yeah.
In some of these promotions as well. But really, Noah and All Japan is where his legacy will lie. And I'm sure that they could do something. We saw Marufuji work with All Japan last year. You saw the flight show where he was on it. There's no reason that they can't do something if they do come to agreement with that memorial show as well. New Japan, I don't know, but if anything, Kanemaru should at least get a shot to be on there, because that's the one that's closest to him in Noah. And Ishimori as well would be good as well, I feel like. But
true.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see where that goes. But, you know, just an amazing outpouring of support that made me really proud and put as nice of a thing as you can on a terrible situation for him.
I believe that's a good moment to wrap this show up, Dylan.
Yeah.
This has been the Eastern Lariat on the life and death of Atsushi Aoki. Assault Point Forever.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.